Welcome back. We are live at Coco's Pub. I got the hang of it. I'm 3 days into it. I know what buttons to hit and what order to hit them in. Even though I didn't create a new file, everything's just going to be fine. Luke Jones is here. The great Michael Rossigliano. Rossig, we call him. I'm getting my first beer I'm getting a red stripe because like it feels like Jamaican, and I'm wearing the parrot colors here. Rossig is here. Luke Jones is here. It is a cup of soup or bowl. We're doing this on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank, and the Maryland Lottery is giving me tickets to give away. I got beer. I got giveaways. Rossig, did you bring any canned goods? I'm not putting you on the spot.
I'm gonna tell you why I didn't. Because I walked over. I threw my back out.
Watching
the boys.
Oh, really?
And so I was going to lug a bunch of cans over, and I just couldn't do it.
I knew Grandpa Rossig was going to break down.
Oh, man.
But I promised to bring you some other cans.
Luke, do you want to make the announcement over a beer, over a red stripe beer? Do you want to make the announcement for your family, or do you not want to make the announcement about Uncle Luke?
Oh. Going to be Uncle Luke again.
Nice.
My new nickname for you is going to be Deuce.
Deuce. Nice. Yes.
My sister made it Facebook official. She and her husband are expecting child number two. So Scarlett's going to be a big sister, and Uncle Luke's going to be an Uncle Luke again.
Deacon Deuce Jones. I have to start renaming it after
nicknames.
All these years.
See,
you know?
we got our grands, our first grands, at the same time. They were identical twins. So, you know, we got the Deuce in one shot.
There you go. There you go. Rossig's got his Oriole hat on.
Yeah, of course.
We have staff here at Coco's with home team sports logos on, man. Huh? Oh, geez, over here in Oscarville.
More sports, your sports, HDS.
That
was a terrible key.
Yeah, that's right. Go play in the yard. You know, that's what I'm saying.
There you go.
It's fun for me to be here just because I'm a big fan of Luke, so I'm just to be on the show with him.
You're
okay.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, he does an amazing job.
No,
and you guys
one hates
were great
Luke,
before.
Half the people, 51% of the people that meet me hate me.
Well,
99.8%. He's like ivory. He's like 99.9% pure.
I understand why.
How can anybody hate Luke?
Just setting up for the heel turn.
Are you?
I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm
you know
sure.
I'm a pro wrestling guy, so.
Yeah, let's make it. You're on three, right? Yeah, I think you are. I'm pretty sure you are.
I think that's me.
Man,
yeah.
Marcella's like mothering me all up. She knows. So we have a debate. You're not like a real Baltimorean. You didn't grow up here.
Right.
Long Island and Buffalo.
Right.
You came here, the crab thing for you. Weird. I mean, you're a dirty hand guy. You're a cartoon. Yeah, no problem. I've eaten crabs with you, right?
Oh, yeah. And the first time we ever had it, we met a total stranger on the beach. My wife and I were at the beach, and this woman invited us to go have crab. So they threw out, they had the newspapers on the ground, and we were like, what? You know, and I loved them immediately. Like, I it's still my favorite food that I eat is steamed crabs. I don't eat them that often because I can't afford to eat them that often, but I... But
I'm going to take you over to Costas and be nice to you one night, buy you some crabs. I'm only going
to
do that. I'm going to have a crab feast
nice
with my friends,
me.
Man.
Yes.
Well, the half-and-half crab soup thing, you're an old fart like me. You're older fart than me at
yes.
this point with a bad
oh,
back.
Yes.
We're two old farts with bad backs sitting down like crazy. I've
yeah.
been stretching. The half-and-half thing, like, nobody did this until we don't... I mean, Marcella said she thinks it's been on her menu maybe 5 years. Pete over Costa said it's still not on my menu. It's like animal style. And in and out.
Wow.
You have
yeah.
to ask for it. You have to know about it or something like that. But are you a half and half guy?
I'm aware of it. I've never actually had the half and half version. So it's something I have to do in Baltimore still.
You've never had half and half?
I have not.
The deal with this is you kind of want to mix it a little bit and get it more like a creamy. It's going to look more like a bisque when you're done with it.
Okay.
Oh, my. Is that okra in there? Hold on a second. Marcella, you put okra in your crab soup? No wonder it's good. Yeah, my wife, like, this is a secret ingredient. My mother's from Abbeville, South Carolina. Have you ever had okra? Do you eat okra?
I've had it before, yeah.
Rossig?
No.
Well, you've had the crab soup. This is okra.
Okay, that's okra.
It is
in
delicious.
Yes, don't spill
vegetable.
It on my lap.
I held a spoon over it.
I know.
All right. Well, Sig lives in the neighborhood. He's
50-50. Half and half's really good, though.
Okay, yeah.
I'm highly recommend.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I walked
Reminds
over.
Reminds me of my mother.
I limped over. Mm. It's I live only two blocks away from here. It's the greatest place, Coco's. So we're fortunate to have it right around the corner from us.
So he's my co-host with a K.
Yes.
So all right. So what's on your mind? I mean, you listen to Luke and I jam for an hour on each sport. Where's your head? I mean, because I never envisioned the team being sold. Like I've never thought of my press pass a new day. It was like being in Cuba. I said to them last week. It's like Fidel. Fidel's going to live forever. I really believe that.
Yes, right. I get it. I was talking to your good buddy Nick Seropoulos earlier
Love
today,
you, Nick.
And he was saying, and it was the same as I was. He as soon as the sale happened. It's the first smile he cracked since the game, you know, since the football game. And I felt the same. I was in Brooklyn when it went down. I was on a train up to Brooklyn when it went down. And it's just an amazing, like you, as you said, Luke, it's the biggest story, the biggest sports story of a week of just huge sports stories in Baltimore. It'll have the most impact. The
I
most
said
positive.
Tectonic plate shifting.
Yeah,
that's kind of how
sure.
I said.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. So yeah, I'm very excited by all of it.
God, this was such a good idea to do this event this week, right? I mean, God, what a good event.
I just think we've got this great ownership group now too. Hopefully, that's going to allow us to take the next step. Then we make a big trade at the end of the week, which was also had me going pretty good, too. So.
Dude, I'm still stuck on the management thing. I can't even think about them.
You had to talk about the trade. The trade
yeah,
was a huge trade.
We did, and we have, and we will. And it's
well, I in our previous conversation, we talked about the beginning with Peter. I was 10 years old when Peter bought the team. I'm 40 now. I mean, that shows you what
right.
the reach, to your point, why this is the biggest story,
right.
Because the Ravens are going to kick it off again in September, and life will go on, and people will be excited, and we'll see what happens next January.
Right.
Corbin Burns hopefully is the next great number one starter for the Orioles, even if it's just for 1 year.
Right.
But other pitchers are going to come and go. An ownership group, and not speaking Rubenstein specifically, but just a group, change in ownership, can last for decades. It can have an impact over generations, as
sure.
It has to the negative over the last 30 years for the Orioles, save
Absolutely.
For a few years. So it's huge. I mean, it's massive. And, you know, for me, I've thought about the Orioles through the sense of, you know, like the Buck and Duquette era. As much as that was fun, it felt like it was a happy accident. You know, it's not like it was supposed to turn out that way. Where they are right now, there was a sense, for me at least, until ownership showed that they were going to spend money to augment what they had, it felt like there was a ceiling on it. It felt like, okay, maybe if everything aligns perfectly, maybe they might get to a World Series. Now it feels like the possibilities are endless.
Endless not, is the word for it.
Not,
I would
I mean,
agree.
Not that they're going to become, not that they're going to have a $350 million payroll like the Dodgers, but they can have a payroll that we're not talking about it having such restrictions the way that we
already had a head start going into it, in that we have this amazing farm system
exactly.
now, too. So we've got that in place already.
Yeah.
And then this ownership group, how could you not be juiced as a local baseball fan here?
Do I have to talk? Is it my turn to talk?
We thought
no.
so.
We.
I don't want to host this thing. I'm done. I'm 21 hours into this, man. I'm looking at canned goods, and I'm just
let me eat my soup in peace.
I appreciated your thoughts on the word diminished before.
People are like, God, they finally shut him up. It's
fun. I know. I turned around. He's like, he's just enjoying his soup.
Dude,
just go along.
I
like it.
I wait for Nestor to give his cues on this stuff. So if he's silent, I don't know.
I yeah. brought you guys here to talk, man. I talk all the time.
But it's exciting. I mean, and inevitably it leads back onto the field, and they're going to be in Sarasota next week for the start of spring training. And, you know, what's going to happen with Jackson Holliday? You know, what's the
right.
starting rotation going to look like behind Corbin Burns? I think we generally have an idea. You know, for me, the bullpen, you know, I mean, let's talk about the other side of the trade. They did trade DL Hall, who I think was if not going to be the closer by year's end, you know, with Craig Kimbrell in place, was certainly going to be a guy that was going to feature prominently in the eighth inning. So
absolutely.
On the heels of all this exciting news, now it's, hey, we're going to have some real baseball to talk about here soon. So, I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, the D.L. Hall thing is, I thought, the same thing. You know?
You have to give up something. I mean,
Steve Jeppy said that he just envisioned him as Andrew Miller, and he loves Andrew Miller, mm-hmm. that guy. So, you know, I think, but I thought the same thing about the closer. Like, he's our backup closer here, and maybe by the end of the year he is our closer. I still like the pickup of of the closer for a year, but yeah, giving up D.L. Hall, you have to give up something to get greatness. This guy has the possibility for greatness.
No question about it. Yeah. I mean, this is the most dominant pitcher the Orioles have had, starting pitcher the Orioles have had since Mike Messina. I mean, it's that.
It seems that way.
Okay, you know, I mean, what he's done. Now, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to do it here. There's no question right. about that. But you look at what he's done over the last 4 years for the Brewers. I mean, I'll hear Eric Bedard for a season. I'll hear you know, Chris Tillman having his moments, you know, in the last era of good Orioles baseball. But no one as dominant as Corbin Burnes going back to Messina. I mean, that's where he's been. I mean, he won the Cy Young. Right. We're not talking about the Orioles bringing in Felix Hernandez, who had won the Cy Young, what, a decade earlier. We're talking about someone who won it a couple years ago.
I mean, you know, I was excited.
29 years old.
I was excited when they got Flaherty last year. I was wrong, you know, because that was a bust. Yeah. But I thought the fact that we didn't give up a ton of prospects or top prospects for him and his makeup, I thought he'd help us a lot.
I thought so, too. I wasn't over the moon about it, but I certainly thought it had upside that was enticing, and it just didn't materialize. But, hey, you're not going to bat 1,000.
That's the kind of thing where, like, on a trading deadline, we all, like, get crazy and we overreact to all of it or whether it happens or it doesn't happen. In the end, Burnes this year is better than anything else they were going to get last year.
Of course.
Absolutely correct.
I mean, okay.
And they're going to have Holiday. They kept Mountcast. I mean,
right. You could have argued the scenario of a Dylan Cease. Corbin Burnes is better than Dylan Cease. Now, Cease has an extra year of control, so you take that into account in whatever you were going to work out from a trade compensation standpoint.
Well, in parlance, it was cheaper to have Cease.
No,
right, $16 million, you know, where they are.
Right, but last year when they were trying to trade for Dylan Cease, they wanted Jackson Holiday. You know, that's who the White Sox were asking.
No, I'm talking on financial
level. I understand that.
They didn't just add a number one star. I mean, they added $16 million in payroll this year.
Sure. I think it's projected to be like $96 million now. I mean, it's gone up between Kimbrel, Burnes, and the, 15 players who are arbitration eligible. I mean, their payroll is going up a good bit. It's up to, like, 26th in baseball now compared to 29th last year. So inching their way up, I guess. But, no, I mean, it's a lot higher than it was last year and way, way, way higher than it was 2 years ago. So doesn't take much when you start having some players. You add a couple pieces of relevant pieces, established pieces, and some of your young players are starting to get more expensive. Yeah, this is why ownership coming in now at this point in time and not 2 or 3 years from now is a colossal opportunity for them to really try to maximize however long this window is going to last. And if they do it well, this window should last quite a long time.
Think about how far we come in. Like 3 weeks ago, we're preparing to play the first game. Joe Flacco's still in the playoffs, whatnot, right? I put this thing together.
Bills are still in it, yeah.
Bills are, yeah, that's right, for you.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but you just did.
I brought it up to Luke, so, you know.
I'm still mad about the Oilers thing in 93. He and I, you know, the whole comeback Frank Reich thing. So
I watched it with Nestor, so, yeah.
That was a dark
I turned that game off, and I was playing video games again. I was like 10. I turned it off.
Last game you ever turned off.
I turned it off. No, I turned it back on, and the Bills were leading. And I'm like, what the heck happened?
You couldn't Google it.
Could not. Had to read about it in the paper the next day.
I was literally jumping up and down on Nestor's bed.
Wild.
You know,
he was literally jumping Frank up and down Reich? On my waterbed. He was jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Shit was baffling.
I'm sure he loved it.
No,
it's just the worst. Because I invited him over. No, this is the God's
And you're truth. Probably gloating.
No. This is what happened. It was a playoff game. We didn't have a team here. I had been on the radio 2 years. But Rasik was one of my best friends. I mean, all these years, I mean, I've known Rasik since 1984. We talk about it all the time.
Right.
He's complete inner circle, you know, like wedding. Just we've experienced everything together,
sure.
Right? Like, So, but this was probably the pinnacle of our friendship over all of it, that all my, if he's reading my eulogy, he'll say, there was the one time with the Oilers, you know, of all the things. We've driven to Buffalo together.
Yeah.
We were at the AFC Championship game together when they beat the Raiders 51-3.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were at the Jay Schrader, Art Shell game, right? So, I mean, we've done things together. But 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, I dreamed this thing up Christmas. I tell you, I'm going to do this, a cup of Super Bowl, Chad Steele, I'm not going to Vegas, like, whatever, right? And we really believe we had a real chance of being in the Super Bowl. Like, you know,
of
right?
Of course.
And then we live it. You beat Houston. You get a championship game. Tickets are $600, $800. Everybody's there. You're in the game. Maybe it'll happen, like all that. From that moment where the game turned, and turned my week and this week, the thing we're doing here, into, well, it's not a purple pep rally anymore, to
right.
them losing and now like, and then you wake up and the Orioles, the last word from the liar was to the governor that he wasn't selling the team, right? Like, none of that's happening. And then 48 hours later, from that period of the, what you talk about with Nick Syriopoulos, that yeah. bottom of the pit where you wake up Monday and you realize the season's over and Taylor Swift took your boyfriend.
Yes.
And then Tuesday morning you wake up and you realize it's really over because the hangover's over and Luke realizes he's not getting to Vegas this time around on my dime. Dude, I had an in-out burger in your parking lot. You know? Dude, what I'm saying, I guess this gets to the point of serendipity and where we are, is we're sitting here at Coco's. We're not in the Super Bowl and John's had a U-Haul come out to his back door and take everybody out. Joe Ortiz finally left, which I never thought he'd leave. I thought he was a lifer.
Right.
What do I know, right? To this whole new ownership and pitcher and it being like a pinch-me reality, this has been the wildest month. It's like a fever dream. It's like like you've been stoned for a month.
Yeah, I'm
like
saying a week, but it's been a month. You're right. It's been a month.
Or like you're coming out of jail or the dryad. So I gotta tell you guys, I'm having a beer. We're at Coco's. Come on out. Brian Pugh's here. We're gonna talk about brain injury and some important stuff here. You need crab cake or something? Some crab soup? Let me hook you up, bro. I mean, because these are my dudes and we just got going. We're gonna get you in here. We're gonna do it. For the Maryland Food Bank, if you bring anything out here, canned goods, stuff that's non-perishable, it's going to the do you know about St. Francis of Assisi. Do you know where that is? Right down the street?
It's a church. Of course. My kids went to school there. I taught 6 years of cartooning there. It's my place.
This is going to their food pantry.
Is that right? Okay. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Isn't
that's
that
great.
Cool?
I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. And that's it.
So when your back feels better, haul some stuff down there.
Of course. I'll do it. Of course.
You know, you could give a $25 donation right now to the Maryland Food Bank, and Marcella will give you a $25 gift card for here.
Okay.
Just for doing it.
I'll do it right now.
That's even money.
Okay. That sounds like a good thing.
You give her $25, she gives it to the food bank, the St. Francis of Assisi.
Okay. I'm in. I'm doing it.
Community, right? Doesn't that feel nice? It feel Absolutely. Warm and fuzzy?
Absolutely.
How does that make you feel? It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland. By the way, Brian, you get one of these, buddy. There you go. I feel like Oprah when I give these out. You get one. Employees and businesses are not ineligible. You don't get one. Sorry.
I'll give it to my brother.
Thank you.
No, we can't do that.
Can't do it with family either.
He's not even underage, John. I promise. It's the stocking stuffer rule. Our friends at Window Nation, 86690Nation. I'm going to put the wacky hat on. I'm going to hold the lottery ticket up because I'm going to get a screenshot of me and Luke and because Roz needs that, and she brought all of these tickets. I have all these tickets. They're going to be at State Fair tomorrow. They're going to be here at Coco's till 5 o'clock. It is the 10 times the cash. And Window Nation, 86690Nation, we appreciate them. 0% financing for the next 5 years, as well as Jiffy Lube Multi-Care. So we're at Coco's till 5. State Fair all day tomorrow, Frederick Road in Catonsville. Same deal. Come on out. Different soup. I want to tell you right now, Evan Brown has a cream of crab soup that he puts corn in, and he calls it chowder, and he's got sherry. So it's a little different. If you come out, it's delicious. Mm. And I just ate a half and half here at Coco's with a beer. Friday, we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. Don't come to the wrong Pappas. Cockeysville.
That's a great one, too.
9 to 5. Yep. Yeah, we'll be in the back.
Great happy hour there.
Fireplace area there. They're making it all cozy for me because they know how much I miss Las Vegas and my restaurant. So Luke and Rasigar here, and we're kind of going through this whole thing. So
can I ask about the – I know you guys talked about the Ravens already, but I wanted to bring this up with Luke here too. So Nick, who we just talked about before, while this was all going on, before the defensive coordinator left, suggested that we hired him as the head coach. Mm-hmm. Is that something you guys brought up? Or would that have ever been a feasibility?
There's a lot of things I read on Twitter that we don't bring up.
Yeah.
This is just Nick talking.
Sure. I mean,
going off.
I mean, we talked about the idea of a coach in waiting scenario. You know, could it have been a case where, you know, have there been scenarios where teams have replaced a head coach with someone on staff? Sure. I think, and look, I'm probably going to tick off a lot of people saying this right now. I think if you look at John Harbaugh and the success that they've had, if you decide you're going to replace him, boy, you're really threading the needle for making a big assumption that Mike McDonald is going to be better and lead you to new heights. A defensive coordinator does not automatically, a great defensive coordinator does not automatically equal a great head coach.
True.
Ray Miller is the great example that I always talk about. For my money, one of the greatest pitching coaches in baseball history did not work out as a manager.
No.
So I think it's a fair talking point. Well, I think it's a fair question.
There are
ask.
People that I've talked sure. to that don't think John Harbaugh is a great coach. So that's I know he'd be picked up in a second.
I continue to come back to this. Look, John Harbaugh is not perfect, and I will hear even a scenario of at some point in time it's the old Bill Walsh. Brian Billick cited this, you know, that any head coach in any place has a shelf life. Andy Reid in Philadelphia was a great example of this. However, some of the, and I'm not suggesting you for bringing it up, but some of the criticism I hear of John Harbaugh, you would think that the Ravens are year in and year out a playoff caliber team in spite of him being a complete moron, and that is not how it works in the National Football League. Right. So, I'm as mystified about this as anyone in looking at how they haven't been able to break through in January. And John has to own that, just like Steve and Eric DaCosta. And
unlike Lamar, Steve, he has to stand up and talk
sure,
about
sure.
it.
Sure, sure. And so Jackson.
You know he's going to get that.
Mr. Yeah. Humble, Steve Bouchard. Mr. Hiding.
I patently will reject the notion that the Ravens win in spite of John Harbaugh every year. Could you do that for a year or two? If you have just the all-time great assistant coaching staff and the best
Switzer.
Players and all that, can you do that for a year or two? I'll hear that. It's been 15 years. And look, they've had 16 years. They've had some forgettable years.
Well, there's something in Zach Orr he sees.
Only a couple.
That, you know what I mean? There's something in Zach Orr he sees and
sure.
feels that given where McDonald is now and given, you know.
I know.
John is a great mentor of coaches. John is a great rah-rah guy.
But
John is the most paranoid, dishonest, media unfriendly, smile, and like that's who he is, and that's what his belief is, and that's what his brother's belief is, and and it's all of the paramilitary. We're nobody. It's us and them, and them and us, and they're the bad guys, and that's who John. John motivates himself with that.
Luke, you agree with that, or
I mean, look, he's a jock. I've
had John
Harbaugh
call me and scream at me in Las Vegas on a 120-degree day about something he wrote. That was true.
Yeah.
So stop.
I have said this.
I know John Harbaugh. You read about John
and
Harbaugh.
And I don't even mean this as a knock.
I'm not in Las Vegas today, Rasig, right?
Yeah.
Enough said is right.
John is way more like Jim. Then he leads on. He's just way better at hiding. He's
you
way better at preventing.
That's an interesting.
He said that a million
CEO
times.
The CEO front. Yeah. And look, that's worked out really well for him. He's been very successful.
He gives better smile than his brother.
Yes, right.
And there's value to that. But I will continue to reject over and over and over again that John Harbaugh is incompetent.
This team would not win as much as
they have year after year. Now, January, and we want to talk about that whole thing. Look, they've got to take a long look and try to figure it out. And again, I don't think it's. 5 years ago, it was, you got to get better at the passing game, got to get better at the passing game, got to get better at the passing game. The passing game was more than good enough this year, but they didn't do it when they needed to two Sundays ago. And
so does he have to be more
And by
Andy,
the way, everyone else is figuring that out in the AFC. That they can't get over the top against Patrick Mahomes.
Or Andy Reid, right? So
it's the Patriots all over again.
It is the Patriots all over again. You know, oh, my God.
But It's disappointing for the Bills again.
I know it's a Baltimore station, but for the Bills, they're in the same space. It's a broken record.
They're in the same space at this point. To me, I said this a little bit. I said this to him at one point in some of our post game. I said it flippantly, but there's truth to it. The Ravens finally got to the Bills level. The Bills haven't been able to get past the Chiefs. The Ravens finally faced the Chiefs in January, and they couldn't get past
them either. Well, the Colts dealt with this, and the Ravens dealt with this, and the Steelers dealt with this.
Yeah.
When Brady
it was just the Patriots.
Yes.
It's the new Patriots at this point.
It's the new Patriots, definitely.
So this is the last thing we'll say. I'm going to break. I want to see if Brian's got time for... I want to get you to eat your crab cake.
Yes.
I've been sitting here for an hour. So I'm going to talk to Brian, I believe, and we're going to come back. We're going to do another round here. I know Luke needs to get out of here around 3:30. I just say this. And I was going to begin the next thing with this because you're wearing that Oriole hat to keep staring at me. My wife and I went to Drug City on Saturday night. We went to Costas and had some food. It was delicious. Setting everything up for this crazy thing we did on Tuesday. And I went in and I had flippantly said to Wendy Bronfine from Curio Wellness, our cannabis partner, I said, is there a champagne of cannabis? It was the morning after the thing happened on Tuesday. I'm like, is there a champagne of cannabis? Because champagne gives me a headache or whatever. And I was at Drug City the other day, and I felt like getting a bottle of wine. And I said, I wanted to get something to celebrate. I mean, my whole point was like, I'm ready to pop the cork the way that guy went down and shot off the confetti cannon.
Yeah, right.
That's funny. I had a pour of bourbon that night, actually.
You did? Well, I mean, I didn't. I was in a state of shock. And that Thursday night when I thought maybe I'll get my press pass back, and my wife said, just make sure you get a hot dog before you find Luke. You know? And I said, I think I have to pay for the hot dogs, I think. Are the hot dogs free? I need to know. They will be in the Rubenstein area.
Let's stream.
Mr. Rubenstein will bring out free hot dogs and peanuts in the press box. in the Jim Henneman press box. So I hit the wine aisle. I've only had 6 to 8 really good bottles of wine in my life, and not even a bottle. Like, I've been at Marvin Lewis's house, and he's opened some stuff that's been like, wine's really good, you know,
right.
And I like wine, and I drink a Malbec, I drink a layer cake Malbec that I love, and it's delicious, but I know, I've had some $60, $80 bottle, I've had a glass of that, and it tastes better, it's just different and weird,
I guess.
I can taste the difference in that now, in my life, I can, so otherwise I wouldn't do it, which is the point of like, I could go buy champagne and be a jerk, you know, like, hey, champagne, I don't like champagne that much, and enough to drink a lot of it,
right.
But I wanted to do something that felt good to me, right, so I've had this bottle of wine. It's a $60 bottle of wine. I'm like, this is my investment. I don't gamble. I don't, you know, I eat crab cakes. So I bought a bottle of wine, and I've had this wine before. And it's delicious. It's called The Prisoner.
It's perfect.
It's a really, really good wine. Anybody listening, you know that if you know wine a little bit. And it's a red blend. I've had it. It's delicious.
The Prisoner.
So it will feel, my wife loves it, you know,
yeah.
So it'll be celebratory. So I grabbed it, I pulled it up, I took it up to the front counter, and the woman there has purple hair because she's Drug City and she's done that. And Barry has orange hair, my son has orange hair.
Yes, right, of course.
So she's always asking about my son, and I'm always like, don't give him the reward points. Do not give my kid my Drug City reward points. You know, piss me off. So I got this bottle of The Prisoner, and the whole idea is, like, the minute it happens, when they call the Rubenstein press conference, when the money's in the bank and the ink is dry, because this is an Angelo's family, and they lie, and Lord knows whether this trade...
And it's Major League Baseball, too.
Yeah, I've been told, like, you know, don't pop that cork, don't have that port. Don't have that long.
I was going to have that pour anyway, so.
It was a short pour?
Yeah, it was just a nightcap.
I also was, because I had a dry January, so I was, you know, I can go. I can go now. I can go.
I'm non-sponsored by Red Stripe, but I love Jamaica. So, and it feels celebratory when you,
yes,
you, know, you have something
of course.
That feels like you've had on the beach. So I buy this bottle of wine, and I thought to myself, here's my deal. I'm going to unleash the prisoner. I'm going to release the prisoner.
It's perfect.
That's funny.
I really like it.
I'm going to do that on my Facebook Live. I promise.
I like it.
All right, we're Coco's. I'm going to give her a little bit of a break.
Yep.
I got big news for you. One of your new friends through my circle, because I am the Paul Revere of Baltimore sports and sprinkling Johnny Appleseed love and friendship. Ryan Cassie is going to make his way, and he's going to be our hour four.
So I love Luke, of course.
I bring another rock star in. Ron Cassie is going to be here while Luke heads back up the Shrewsbury
Fantastic.
Highway. Brian Pugh's here. Got my brain injury and head trauma. You might even be on a little bit of this. I want you to eat some of that crab cake. Rasig, I want you to get a beer of your choice.
Right.
I want you to get a cup of soup or a bowl.
Oh, no, a cop
would
be
fine. That's so clever that you should appreciate that. You're one of the most clever humans I've ever met. You're like this incredibly crazy cartoonist who would put all of these sort of really weird things, sometimes with my name in them and sometimes with messages to Nick the Greek, like all of this in there that my son gave me. And our, you know, your son named me Nasty Nester. You know that, right? His kid was...
Both kids.
I did not know that.
His kids named me Nasty Nester. Yeah. Did you not know that?
Both boys.
We'll begin the segment, because he needs to be educated. When we get together again in 20 minutes,
right.
We'll begin the segment.
Okay.
Sounds
that.
Good.
All right.
All right? We'll break it out.
All right.
Good enough. I'm Ness. Great. We're doing this thing with the Maryland Lottery. Rasinga's here. Luke is here. We're going to talk a little head injury and brain injury. Very typical of what we talk about during Radio Row Week. We've had, you know, Chris Nowinski's been on from the Institute. So we talked about a lot of different things. So it's football week, and we're going to kick it into second gear here tomorrow. We're going to be at State Fair for day 4, Pappas for day 5. Bring stuff for the Maryland Food Bank. We will give you a cup of soup or bowl.
Very nice.
It's Barry's idea, just like Nasty Nester was Tup and
Steve's idea. Yeah, right? Very good.
Tup with twins, Rasig with a bad back.
from the twins.
My co-host with a K is broken. Back for more from Coco. Stay with us.
All right.